are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Good morning, Joy. Gosh, I miss you guys. I know it's natural to miss you because we're all part of one body. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the different parts of the body making up the body of Christ. And I was thinking this morning about if Aretha, for instance, is the eye, and Sherry is the hand, and Gregory is an ear, and I'm a foot, then we're all one body, and of course we miss each other being together. And we're really all part of the same body because we are to be showing the world what God looks like. And so we're all different parts of the body. So this week, I'm going to encourage you to reach out to someone maybe that you wouldn't normally reach out to and encourage them as part of the body of Christ here at Joy. And even if we can't be together physically, we can be together creatively. And so I'm going to ask you to be creative and encourage you to do that this week. You know, in 1 Corinthians, in verse 26, it also says, if one part suffers, then we all suffer with it. And we have several people that we are going to be praying for right now that are suffering. And one is the family of Angel Rodriguez, who is part of us here at Joy. And his family is suffering because he was killed in a motorcycle accident last week. We're also going to be praying for Pastor Bill Cody, who is suffering with cancer right now. We're also going to be praying for Officer Coletti, who was killed in a bicycle accident a couple of days ago, and for his family. He was a wonderful believer on the police force. And we're also going to be praying for Sandy Whalen Korn, who you may remember Sandy and Patrick being here at Joy for years. And she's in the hospital right now with COVID and very, very ill. And so if we could just take a minute all together, wherever you are in your living rooms or wherever you are, and if we could pray for each one of these. And so, Father, your word says that when one of us suffers, we all suffer together, Lord, because we're one body in you. And so, Lord, right now, we just lift up the family of Angel Rodriguez, Lord. I pray that you would just cover them with your peace and your healing, Lord God, and your great comfort. And we pray for Officer Coletti's family, Lord, for his wife and children, and everyone, Lord, who knew him and loved him so much. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Bill Cody, and we ask, Lord, for your healing touch on him right now, and your peace and your comfort to him and Kathleen and LaShaman. The kids are down there, too, in Florida with them. And Lord, we also pray for Sandy, Lord, as she's in the hospital with COVID. We pray, Lord, for a mighty touch of your healing power in her life right now, Lord, even as we pray that you would heal her. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can come together as one family, as one body, Lord, all the different parts all over the place. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just be with us, that you would be with those that we mentioned, and that you would work your mighty power in their lives. Thank you, Lord. The second part of that verse says, when one part of the body is honored, then every part rejoices. And so, with that in mind, ta-da! Is this good here? Ta-da! Congratulations to our graduates. Courtney Duncan, Madison Scott, Jesse Puzio, Jake Smith, Travis Nix, and our own Pastor James. So congratulations to all of you. We're very proud of you. Well done. Job well done. You know, if you're here with us for the first time, or you'd like to leave a prayer request for us to be praying for you this week, if you go to www.wearejoy.org, There's a place where you can leave your comments, your prayer requests, and just let us know what's going on with you, and we'd love to be in touch with you that way this week. Also, if you are wondering how to make sure we get your tithe, you can send it by check to the church. You can do it through Kindred. Or Annie and Pastor Frank are here on Wednesdays from 2:30 to 5 o'clock. So you can drop in and drop it off that way, too. And so thanks for coming today. Thanks for being with us. And I'm going to ask Pastor James to come up.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Joy. We want to make sure that all our graduates know we love them and we are proud of you. We congratulate you. And we know that this is a very different type of graduation season. And we just pray that the Lord's blessing will be upon you. I love the scripture from Psalm 37, verse 4, that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will grant us the desires of our heart. And that's my prayer for you as our graduates this morning. And two honks out for all of you. It was just a wonderful time we had yesterday traveling from all the graduates, from graduate to graduate, and celebrating them. We thank our youth director, Cherise Paris, for leading the charge on that, blessing our kids, and the time of prayer we had in celebration. What a wonderful day for all our graduates, and we're so grateful for God's hand upon your life and the testimony of his light that you will be in the days to come. And thanking everybody who's joining us this morning. And it's so good to be with you. And this morning I want to minister to you again in the series that we've been in. And that is on Behold Your God. And we've been discussing various characteristics, qualities, attributes about who God actually is. And today I want to share with you about the God of justice. In his book, Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer inspires us when he states, God's justice is activated when we willingly acknowledge our own unrighteousness. Tozer encourages us to humbly lift up prayers of repentance, and this will set in motion God's justice. God's justice embodies the idea of moral fairness, even-handedness, integrity, rightness, righteousness, decency, goodness, honorableness, conscientiousness, reasonableness, and sensibleness. Those are all descriptive words of God's justice. Let me repeat those again so that we have a clear understanding about where we're going this morning when I mention the word justice in reference to who God is. It is his moral fairness, even-handedness, honesty, integrity, rightness, righteousness, decency, goodness, honorableness, conscientiousness, his reasonableness, and his sensibleness. Justice is a name given to the way God is. When God acts justly, he is not doing so to conform to an independent standard, my standard, your standard, the world's standards, society standards. No, 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 no. To no one's independent standard. Because all God's reasons for being just come from within his uncreated being. Tozer says, nothing has entered the being of God from eternity. Nothing has been removed. And nothing has ever changed. God is God. God is always, only, and fully God, and can never be other than who he is. That's why he's just. God is just. Tozer emphasizes how God is his own self-existence principle. He has his own self-existence of moral fairness. I'm immediately reminded that there is nothing in God's justice which forbids the exercise of his own mercy. We must take hold of that truth, that God's justice permits people to become transformed both morally and spiritually. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 confirms this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When a repentant sinner asks to receive Christ's salvation, their moral situation is reversed. God's justice confronts the changed situation and pronounces the believing person just. He confesses that that person stands before him morally virtuous, full of integrity. That person becomes good, right-minded, trustworthy, and incorruptible, truthful. And he desires that we embrace the new freedom we discover through his justice. God cares about all people and expresses his concern by a deep commitment to justice. I want to repeat that because that's the theme of where we're going this morning. And I want to give you an opportunity to actually write that down, that thought, as we travel through the scriptures this morning together and talk about the God of justice. Let me repeat that thought, please. God cares about all people and expresses his concern by a deep commitment to justice. And as I was reviewing the word this week and meditating upon several scriptures, there were four or five scriptures that caught my attention regarding the justice of God. And as I looked upon those scriptures and meditated upon them, I realized there were four keys that God wanted to put in my hands to open my heart so that I would understand his heart regarding the commitment he has for justice. And I want to share those four keys that God placed in my hands this week that I want to use in my own personal journey, my own walk of righteousness with the Lord. And I want to be one who brings restoration, reconciliation, and redemption to those who are oppressed, disenfranchised, and disinherited. And so I really want to take hold of these four keys that God is placing in my hands this morning. And I want us to go to the book of Deuteronomy in the 10th chapter. We're going to be looking at several verses and traveling through the Old Testament this morning. But the first chapter I want to look at, and a few verses there, chapter 10 in Deuteronomy. And I want to look at the first key. And the first key that God placed in my hand to realize his deep commitment to justice was this: to oppress is to use power for one's own advantage in depriving others of their basic rights. To oppress is to use power for one's own advantage in depriving others of their basic rights. God in the scripture says that everyone, according to God's word and the kingdom of God, have equal access into the rights and privileges that he offers all mankind who become believers in Christ Jesus. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 to 19, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. You are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt." And they're talking to the Israelites at this moment, Moses is. And we learn from these various verses that justice then is very close to love and grace. Various needy groups we see in this scripture. We see that there are the fatherless, the widow, the alien, and the orphan. And we see these various groups are recipients of God's justice. These groups include other people in our society today as well. We think of wage earners and the poor and the prisoner and the sick and the disenfranchised. And so we look at those people, and God says that love and grace and righteousness and justice belong to them. Each of these groups has specific needs which keep its members from being able to participate in the aspects of life within their community. And justice involves meeting those needs. And we see that the Lord is asking Moses to charge the Israelites to be mindful of what God had done for them as aliens in a foreign land, and how he brought about justice in their lives through his supernatural acts of the miraculous, and how he brought about a deliverance, because they were being deprived of their basic rights. That's God's heart for all mankind. To oppress is to use power for one's own advantage in depriving others of their basic righteousness. To do justice is to correct the abuse and meet those needs. One of the aspects that drew my attention and my heart to Joy Community Church 6 years ago, when I came to interview to become senior pastor, was that desire to meet the needs of injustice in this community. And to witness the diversity of all people groups, multiracial, multicultural groups within the church, tearing down walls of prejudice, tearing down walls of racism, tearing down walls of oppression, tearing down walls where those who are treated as unequal were treated with grace, dignity, respect, and love. There was a spirit in this house the minute that I sat in that front chair with Pastor Tony Monorana, with my wife Greta, and we began to weep because you could sense the dignity, the respect, and the honor that was granted all peoples from all races and all cultures. And my heart was overwhelmed at that moment by a love that I myself had never experienced. And then as I arrived to Joy Community Church, week after week, embraced and embodied in the spirit of community, of love, respect, and dignity, and hope that no person would ever be deprived of their needs, I would weep. I wouldn't just weep because it was a happy feeling. I wept because I was convicted that this was the call of God upon my life. And it would be my responsibility as the pastor in the future of the church to protect the grace, the love, the dignity, the respect that the people who gathered in this place offered those who were in bondage, those who lacked liberty, and those who were oppressed, whether it be women, whether it be children, whether it be the addicted, whether it be the prostitute, whether it be one of a different color, whether it be one who came from a different religion, they could come to joy and experience a God who moved in the heart of a people destined to tear down the walls of oppression and bondage. And I want to thank my congregation for the lessons that you have so willingly and so graciously have taught me over these 6 years. You have modeled for me how to love the unlovely. You have modeled for me the value of all races. Not that I didn't have that value in my heart, but when you become a part of a congregation that is multiracial and multicultural, you are consumed with a new understanding of the value of all people, of all needs. And for that, I want to say I love you and I thank you. It's powerful. The heartbeat of this community has been used by God to transform a destitute community. And this community is rising up because they have been introduced to a compassionate, loving God. As I said, to oppress is to use power for one's own advantage in depriving others of their basic need for righteousness. The vision is salvation in Christ. The vision is for all people to have the opportunity to receive the salvation of Christ and to identify that injustice is sinful. Oppression is sinful. The places that led people to bondage are sinful. No matter what race, no matter what culture, no matter what status somebody comes from in life, we want people who are deprived to find their basic rights and needs met in Jesus Christ. Paul Bunyan had a definition of sin that I think really helps us understand God's justice quite well. And Paul Bunyan said this about sin. Sin is the dare of God's justice. Let me repeat that. Paul Bunyan said this. Sin is the dare of God's justice. Sin is the rape of God's mercy. It is the jeer of his presence and the slight of his power and contempt of his love. That's why we need to understand that God is just. Ask yourself if you've encountered an individual who has been experiencing some form of oppression in their lives, and would you be willing to make the sacrifices necessary to meet whatever those needs might be, whatever they have been deprived of? Perhaps you can't meet those needs, but you can be a resource or somebody to guide them to the resources, or perhaps provide some of the tools necessary to help that individual be delivered from their form of oppression. You see, God cares about all people and expresses his concern by a deep commitment to justice. I want to take us to Psalm 68. If you just go there with me, Psalm 68. We're going to look at verse 5 and 6 in Psalm 68. And it says this. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Let's head in. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When I read those two verses, I see another key that God was trying to place in my hands, to open my heart to understand his deep commitment for justice. And that is this: God's justice delivers. God's justice delivers. It does not merely relieve the immediate needs of those in dire straits. It totally has the capability of delivering. I love that. You see, we think because we act justly that we can resolve all problems. We need the Lord to resolve all problems. We need the Lord to come on the scene and give us the wisdom and give us the ability and the grace and the strength of how to deal with any form of oppression that requires deliverance. Helping the needy means setting them back on their feet, giving people a home perhaps, providing an open door, offering hospitality, inviting people in for a meal, leading them to spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, and economical prosperity, bringing about restoration to end any form of bondage, oppression, or wrong that has been done to them. The source of all justice is our sovereign creator, the sovereign creator of the universe. And God is the defender of all the oppressed of the earth. And we see he is a father. And I love that he paints this picture of immediate care and compassion and how he creates this personal touch in his desire to bring about deliverance to the disenfranchised, the disinherited, the discriminated. And he looks at them and he says, no, you are my child. And you have been bought with the price of my son's blood. And as your father, I reach out to connect with you in the most personal way. And I bring into your life of brokenness. I bring into your life of sorrow. I bring into your life perhaps where you have been angered. You've experienced hatred. You've experienced other people's prejudice. And I, as your father, will bring others to surround you and pull you out of that dark place and love you into relationship with me. He's committed to do that. We see that. And he sets the lonely in families. I love that about the heart of God. And at that moment, we're not just talking about a racial issue or a cultural issue. We're talking about God's heart here for mankind, humankind, We're not specifically focusing on a specific race, because there are many people who are from various races who are oppressed. There are many races that are minority races that are fatherless, and there are many races that are experience prejudice, and they are lonely people. And God's saying to those today, my heart is for you, not against you. And my heart is to take you and place you in a family that will love you and nurture you and bring restoration and healing into your life. Not just with a pat on the back and not just a handout, but taking their hand in your hand and joining together, that your hands together will reach up to the one who can deliver you. That's our hope here at Joy Community Church. Because God's justice delivers. Since God's justice delivers, it can be socially disruptive to people. Because in the act of God's deliverance, those who were victims now are walking in his justice. They're walking in freedom. They're walking and they feel they have a voice, and their voice needs to be heard. And God wants their voice to be heard. And God will create a platform for people who have been disenfranchised and oppressed and discriminated against. He will give them a platform. He doesn't want a platform of violence. He wants a platform for the voice to be heard and responded to. That's his heart. The Spirit of God is always a spirit of liberty. The spirit that is not of God is a spirit of bondage, the spirit of oppression and depression. The Spirit of God convicts vividly and intensely, but he is always a spirit of liberty. God, who made the birds, never made the birdcage. I want you to remember that. The God who made the birds never made the birdcage. It is men who make bird cages. And after a while, we become cramped and could do nothing but chirp and stand on one leg. And God has opened the door and said, fly and chirp and let your voice be heard. When we get into God's great freedom, we discover that it's the way that God meant us to live. The glorious liberty of the children of God. It is our responsibility in society as Christians to be those liberators. It is our responsibility to see that when people have been placed in those birdcages, that we are willing to open them and let people begin to fly in their freedom and their liberty. To assist by opening that birdcage door and helping people caught in bondage, oppression, or depression encounter God's spirit of liberty. Let me repeat that. Freeing them in God's spirit of liberty. You see, God cares about all people, and he expresses his concern by a deep commitment to justice. I want you to go with me to Amos. We're going to go to the prophet Amos into the 5th chapter. And I want to show you from verses 11 to 15, another key that God used to open my heart to understand his heart and commitment for justice. Go with me to verse 11 in the book of Amos, which is found after the book of Joel. Amos chapter 5, verse 11. You trample on the poor and force him to give you grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink of their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. You oppress the righteous and take bribes, and you deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent man keeps quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Verse 14 is essential. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Verse 15, read it with me as I'm reading it to you. Read it with me. Hate evil, love good. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. When I look at those four verses, I see this key that God's putting in my hands this morning, and that is this. God's justice demands that we return to his values. God's justice demands that we return to his values. God has a deep concern for justice and holiness within society. Amos helps us see that the concept of God being just is in fact an affirmation that God is committed to do right for all people groups, for all races, for all cultures. Amos, he had a task, and it was to deliver the message that God was displeased with the nation of Israel and that his patience was exhausted. His patience was running out because they were oppressing the poor and the widow, and they were oppressing those who were in prison. They were oppressing the alien. And now Amos is saying, you had experienced great deliverance. You had experienced the supernatural power of God and the salvation of God. You've experienced freedom from oppression. Why would you now oppress one another? Why would you now oppress the people that surround you? I'm exhausted and displeased, and I've now become impatient with you. God was saying that through these 11 verses. You know, Superman, he fights a never-ending battle. And what does Superman fight for? I love Superman. And I actually have a little buddy in our church. His name is Clark Fanagrossi. And Clark loves the superheroes. He loves Batman. And I think his daddy does too. And Clark loves Superman because Superman loves truth and justice. And he loves Superman and all the superheroes because they fight for justice. Christians are called to fight the battle for truth. There is a battle that is just raging against truth. It's raging. And we have a responsibility, and there is an expectation from these scriptures that God is saying, seek good and not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you, just as he says, hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. He's saying, whatever is unfair, whatever prejudice you walking, whatever judgment you bring against people that is not fair, you have a responsibility to correct that. That's what he's saying to Israel. That's what he's saying to us. I want you to take a look at this. He's saying, you as a believer have to fight a battle for truth and justice, and you have to fight my way. Because God's way is this: Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. Let me repeat that. Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. And there's no way unto the Father but through Jesus. And he is saying here that God Almighty is just, and God Almighty's way is just. And Jesus actually became the ramp way for you and I to reconnect with the justice of God. And it is through the forgiveness of our sins, of our evil, of our rebellion, of our prejudices, of our discrimination, that we receive the grace and the forgiveness of God to forgive others and to be forgiven. It's powerful. God's justice demands that we return to his values. And I want you to go to that same chapter, chapter 5 in Amos, and I want you to look at verse 24 with me. And it says this, "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." You see, when we move in the justice of God and we rely on the justice of God, then God says it is a fresh outpouring. There is a fresh cleansing. There is a renewing of mind, heart, soul, and spirit. There is anything that has deprived your heart, your mind, of understanding the justice of God. Justice begins to roll like a fresh river in through the city, amongst the city dwellers, amongst the people groups of the city, and it cleanses everyone from all forms of injustice and evil and oppression, and brings a fresh liberty to all that live within that city. And that's what the Israelites required at this time. You see, God is challenging you and I this morning to embrace his justice. God's justice washes all forms of fear, all forms of hatred, all forms of prejudice, all forms of discrimination and racism and bondage and oppression caused by any evil or domination. God comes to us in his justice. God is longing for us to what? Seek good. When you look at that word good, he's saying, hey, whatever is right, whatever is pleasant, whatever is opposite of sorrow or evil, that's what I want you to do. I want you to do good for one another. I want you to think good of one another. I want you to extend your heart to one another in goodness. I want you to desire goodness for one another. Seek good, he says. That's not just a requirement, that's a command. He's encouraging us this morning, I'm commanding you to seek good and abstain from all evil. Excuse me. I want to take you to one more scripture this morning. And I want to place the fourth key in your hands as we continue this journey through the Word on God's justice. Will you please go with me to the book of Micah? And we're going to look in the sixth chapter. And it's these are two very familiar verses in Micah chapter 6. I'll give you a chance to get there. Reminding you that God cares about all people, and he expresses his concern by a deep commitment of justice. You should be in Micah chapter 6 by now. And we're going to look at verses 6 to 8. Will you read them with me, please? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s? Rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Let's read this. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Let's read verse 8 Maybe you might want to circle that. It's probably already highlighted in your Bible. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. As I was thinking about these verses, another key to open up the heart of God regarding understanding his commitment to justice is there is an expectation that every believer will act justly and bear the responsibility of our society. We see that in this scripture. The expectation is no matter how extravagant or costly our sacrifice, God extends his justice to every person. He shows no favoritism and no partiality. And he's saying to us, I do not want you to favor any race, any culture more than any other. All race, all cultures, all people groups, all nations are so significant to my heart. And I have some new requirements. He's saying to Israel, I have some requirements I want you to think about as my people. God's saying to us, I have some requirements. If you consider yourself a Christian, if you consider yourself a believer, I have some requirements that I need you to meet. And he shares them with us. God expects us to be in a proper relationship with him and our neighbors. He's saying that here. He expects us to respond to what he has done by walking in godliness. Live justly. Do what is right to those around you, and you will find mercy. You will find kindness. You will find faithfulness. God expects us to walk humbly, acknowledging our complete dependence on him. God expects us to understand that when he looks upon the sins of our society in which the just do live, he must act to judge it. God will punish. God will judge. That's the tension of his justice. You see, God has to punish injustice. God has to discipline injustice. God has to bring to light injustice. There's this moral tension, and it stretches and stretches and stretches. And that tension is in the heart of mankind. It's not in God's heart. It's in the heart of mankind. It's a tension that we deal with in society. And we get angry with God when he does punish, when he does correct, when he does discipline, when he brings justice to injustice, when he brings justice to oppression that should never happen, when he brings justice to a race that has been oppressed time and time again, and he says, no. That's the end of it. I am putting an end to that, and I am going to raise that people group up and restore them in right relationship with me and others. God expects us to understand that. He longs for each believer to remain just and right. He's saying that to act justly, to act fairly, to act with an understanding, to act with grace and mercy, and to be interested, and to ask if we don't understand. And he will grant us that. Martin Luther, the great reformer, this was from a class that I took in school last term, Martin Luther, the great reformer, says, the fact that a moral and just God can let the guilty go unpunished is a problem worthy of God. Any judge who sets a guilty person free from no punishment is immoral and unjust. Suppose a judge has a man before him who is guilty, but has truly had a change of heart and life. He is a just judge. He still cannot let the man go, but if he comes down, stands by the man, and serves his sentence for him, he can let the man go and still be moral, righteous, and merciful. Martin Luther, the great reformer. Well, God did just that. God did that for you and I. God did that for all people when he sent his only begotten son. He understood that the wages of sin was death, but that the gift of life would be eternal life, would be through Christ Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. God cares about all people and expresses his concern with a deep commitment to justice. He cares about us, and he wants us to walk in his justice. He wants us to he offers us these four keys this morning to open our hearts, just as he's opened my heart, so that I can understand how important his commitment is to justice, so that I can offer and be just and right with others. Key number one, to oppress is to use power for one's own advantage in depriving others of their basic rights. Key number two, God's justice delivers. It does not merely relieve the immediate needs of those in dire straits. Key number three, God's justice demands that we return to its values. And key number four, there is an expectation that each believer will act justly and right and bear responsibility in our society for God's justice and being a bearer of God's justice. If God cares deeply and is committed to bring about justice, are you deeply concerned and committed in your heart to bring about justice? Let's pray. Let's just bow our heads right now. What a wonderful opportunity, Lord, that you've given us this morning as people. Believers who have declared that we love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and everything within us. And you are showing us this morning what is good. And you are showing us, Lord God, what you require of us. That no matter what race, what culture, what nation, you're calling all of us as believers to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We ask, Father, that this week, that your Holy Spirit would rest upon us. And that your Holy Spirit, that as we spend time in your presence, as we spend time in worship, and we spend time in your word, as we spend time in prayer, as we're interacting with others, that your Holy Spirit would convict us. Your Holy Spirit would reveal to us a new level of justice that you would have us to walk in. We ask that you would even bring upon our path this week someone who needs love, someone who needs care, somebody who has been misrepresented, misunderstood, unjustly treated. And God, that we would be one who has a heart of understanding and grace and care. We understand, Lord God, that your justice is integral. Your justice is fair. And your justice is even-handed. It's filled with moral fairness. It's decent, it's righteous, it's good, it's honorable, it's conscientious, it's reasonable, it's sensible. Your justice is available. We ask that you would pour into us a desire to be a just people, just like you are a just God. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Again, to you who are out there today listening, just to remind you, God cares about all people, and he expresses his concern through a deep commitment of justice. That's his heart for all. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.